generally dry day on Wednesday with sunny periods.
The following is a presentation of the BVB Network.
Live from an undisclosed fallout shelter, it's the New Old Show with your host, Billy Von Bach! This is Thumper the Sweaty Fat Guy, along with the New Old Show Orchestra. We're inviting you to join Billy and his guest, Ike from Seriously a Podcast, Jeffrey Paul,
Helmut from the Deutschland, yeah, Deutschland, Deutschland über alles, yeah.
And now, here's Billy!
All right, welcome to the show. Hey, what should you do if your girlfriend starts smoking during sex?
Get a fire extinguisher?
No, you should slow down and use some lube.
Lube is for pussies.
You just want that thing to just set on fire? Just go all raw?
Yeah, lube is for pussies.
Well,
literally.
Yes, technically. You know, it took me a minute to... get that.
I got some around here somewhere.
You don't need to see it, thanks. You don't need to see it. What do you call a man who cries when he masturbates?
It's not a man.
It's a tearjerker. It kind of goes with the lube thing, though, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You got that death grip and you got the calluses on your hands. I can kind of see it.
Speaking of... guys tugging on things. What do you call two guys fighting over a slut?
Simps.
Yeah, but it's called a tug-o-whore.
Tug-o-whore.
How do you make herb bread?
Herb.
You know, herb.
H-E-R-B. I'm from Midwest. I say herb.
Herb? I didn't know that.
Herb? The H is silent. Herb.
Now we kind of sound like the Budweiser frogs. Remember those?
Herb.
How do you make herb bread?
You put herbs in it.
With dildo. What's the most common sleeping position of a slut?
Face down, ass up.
Around. Oh! You know, there's a lot of people coming up from the southern border lately. You know, why was there only 2,000 Mexicans at the Battle of the Alamo?
Why?
Because they only had two trucks.
They need to stop by Home Depot and pick up some more.
Exactly. You know, last time we were talking about hookers and your friend Barb. We were talking about prostitutes, sorry. Hookers is just such an old word. Prostitute's such more classy, isn't it? Who makes more money, a prostitute or a drug dealer?
A pimp.
No, actually, a prostitute, because she can wash her crack out and sell it again. Whereas, you know, the drug dealer is a one-and-done kind of deal.
Yeah, and the crack does last a lot longer with the prostitute.
Hey, why do women have orgasms?
Because I make them have orgasms.
Come on, now.
Well, if I say I don't know, then you'd be like, I bet you don't.
Well, the reason is just another reason for them to moan.
Well, I think that we should take women and sew dicks to their tongues. That way they can piss and moan at the same time.
Hey, what do you call a 90-year-old man who could still masturbate?
Fortunate.
Oh, miracle whip. What's the difference between a pregnant woman and a light bulb?
A light bulb brightens my day.
where the pregnant woman doesn't? Do you run into a lot of times where you're around pregnant women?
Occasionally they're around.
No, you can unscrew a light bulb.
Or not if you're feminist. I'm strong and independent, and I can do anything a man can do. Can you open the pickle jar?
When are beer and your ex at their best?
When you're pissing them out?
How you piss out your... Maybe you piss on your ex.
Yeah.
Maybe you piss out your ex.
The second one was into the golden shower thing. She really enjoyed that.
Oh. We don't need to know about that. No, let's not go there. No. So when they're at their best is when they're cold, opened up, and on the table.
I can do it.
Yeah. Speaking of alcohol.
It got dark in here.
Very dark. Very dark. So speaking of alcohol, why did God invent alcohol?
So ugly and fat chicks could get laid too.
Oh, I guess that's a little bit. Been around for a while, has it? Maybe I have Alzheimer's. Point. You want some Alzheimer's jokes? What's the best thing about Alzheimer's?
You can hear the same joke again and not know it.
Yeah, that. And you can watch the same TV reruns and hear the same jokes. And, you know, you all think it's all new.
Joe Biden's world.
So speaking of Joe and Alzheimer's, do you know that Joe might be starring in a new movie? It's going to be like a remake, like an Arnold Schwarzenegger remake. Have you heard this?
Arnold Schwarzenegger? Now what is he doing?
Well, it's going to be called Partial Recall. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to the new old show band. All right, so... You know, there's been a lot going on with Germany and with the Nord Stream pipeline and skyrocketing prices happening with their energy because they put all their eggs in the basket of the Green Party. So we're going to go to our correspondent in Germany right now, Helmut. How are you, sir?
It's Helmut.
I'm sorry, Helmut.
Yeah, Helmut.
How's it going? What's going on over there in Germany? How are things?
How are things? Everybody's freezing.
Well, winter's almost over.
The potato blew up the Nord Stream, so now everybody has to pay extra money to heat the house.
Well, I don't mean to laugh. That's bad. I shouldn't laugh.
It's not a laughing matter.
I know it's not. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh at your...
You insensitive. What's the word in English?
Insensitive?
Insensitive prick. Yeah.
Hey. We don't need to go there. Come on. This is
okay,
a fun
show. Okay, insensitive Ashlo.
Ashlo?
Ashlo.
Ashlo. Yeah. Is that like Oslo, Norway? You know, how are like food prices and
the food is scheisse.
The food is shit.
Everything is expensive. It costs $1 million, Deutschmarks to get that loaf of bread.
You guys went back to the Deutschmark? I thought you were on the Euro.
You can't find the Deutschmarks. That's why it's a million of them. And all I have is two fillings set up together.
You guys were all on the green energy. And how do you feel about that now?
Yeah, there's a problem with being on the north side of the planet. Because not enough sunlight actually hits the solar panels.
Well, the Earth spins. I don't know if you know that.
Summertime, it's okay. Wintertime, it's scheisse.
Again, the Earth spins, but you kind of, you know, tilt. Depends on your tilt,
you tilt
towards.
And then you tilt forward. And then you tilt away. And then you tilt forward. It's summer and winter. It's the seasons.
So the price of, like, bratwurst and like sauerkraut.
Bratwurst, Rindswurst, Rindsfleisch, Schweinfleisch, the Brötchen. Yeah, it's all expensive. And the beer, you can't even afford the beer anymore.
The cost of electricity, you know.
Yeah. I have an oil lamp.
That's what you're using.
And so where did I get the oil? I squeezed it out of my neighbor's hair.
Really?
Yeah, really. He's got this very, very greasy hair.
So what do you think about the Russians, you know, when they started this war? You got this war thing going on. And...
The Russians haben Hofbetrager.
I'm sorry?
Nein, never mind.
Are you angry with the Russians?
Yeah, the Arschloch.
Do you want to get...
My doctor says that I don't speak good German.
You don't speak the good English either.
Yeah, at least I don't say, you take plastic box.
Plastic?
You grab a trash bag.
Did you say plastic?
Yeah, a plastic box.
Oh, I thought you said plastic. Kind of like a Elmer Fudd.
Kill the rabbit! Kill the rabbit! With my spear and magic helmet.
That's kind of... That's like a Viking thing going on. Dude, I didn't realize that Germans still wore those kinds of hats over there.
Yeah, it's the hat from my grandfather.
That's right, your name's Helmut. That's...
Helmut. Helmut, not Helmut. Helmet. This is a helmet. I am Helmut.
Is there some... Do you not like the Russians? Do you feel like maybe you guys are a little upset with them because, you know...
Yeah.
Back, like, you know... 60-something years ago, you know, they kind of came in and kind of kicked your ass.
Well, the Merkel with the Merkin.
Yes. Well, she's not around.
Merkel, yeah. She said, we don't need to have coal plants and nuclear plants. All we need to do is just buy all of our energy from Russia, because nothing would ever go wrong with that.
No, certainly not. It's been working out quite well for you guys, hasn't it?
Oops, dang it.
Yeah, that way you knocked over your oil lamp.
Just about started the fire.
Yeah, we don't
want that. The roof is on fire. We don't give a damn, let the mother burn.
Well, at least you'll have heat at that point.
Teach a man to build a fire and keep him warm, or you can set him on fire and he'll be warm for the rest of his life.
Well, his life won't be. There won't be much left of it. When you set him on fire now, won't it? Will it?
True. That's the point of you'll be warm for the rest of your life.
All right. Well, this has been an interesting conversation. And thanks for giving us an update of what's going on in Germany. And I wish you folks all the best and try to stay warm.
Be your magic helmet.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk to our first guest.
Who is the ailman? A man with a thirst for a manlier brew. Day is done, the race is won. And that could only mean ale. Ballantine Ale. Ballantine, the ailman's ale. Bolder, keener, more to the point. The choice of 3 out of 4 ailmen among all national brands.
Who is the ale man? He could be you. A man with a thirst for a manlier brew. 3 out of 4 men every time choose the bolder, keener tasting ale. Ballantine.
All right, my first guest, actually only guest tonight, is Ike from Seriously A Podcast. And thanks for joining me tonight, Ike.
Thanks for having me.
Second time, actually.
The second time. Everybody else doesn't know, but we already just spent like the last like 3 hours talking, and none of it got recorded.
None of it. It was quite a disaster. But hopefully, hopefully this one will work. I hope. I mean,
I thought I was going to be the only one having technical issues. Yeah,
well, clearly, I. Completely, and I'm sitting here going, oh yeah, this is the best streaming software I've found. Meanwhile, totally like,
oh, this is so much. This is so much better than StreamYard.
I'll still defend it anyway because StreamYard is located in California, and California sucks. So
California blows all of the dicks.
Yes, it does. So. You've been doing this Seriously A Podcast for a while, and you've been doing it with Polska Bob. So tell me a little bit about that.
So Seriously Podcast, we've been doing it for about 3 years, I think, was our first October. October will be hitting 3 years, and towards the end of October will be hitting 3 years. Bob is not technically part of the podcast. So the podcast is Seriously Cast, which is on Friday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That'd be 9 Eastern. And so the podcast is like an hour, hour and a half. It kind of fluctuates occasionally. But since I have a channel that has an audience, I occasionally go on and do video games and blacksmithing on there. And so Bob was like, "Hey, let's do our own stream on Wednesdays where you play that stupid shark game. Don't tell him that I hate that fucking game so much."
So I've seen just a little bit of it. It's kind of like a Jaws kind of thing going on there.
The way that he describes it, it's Grand Theft Auto, but you're a shark. It's like an RPG. So it's like an RPG. You can upgrade the shark, but you play as a stupid shark. Chris Parnell does the voiceover for it, and it's so fucking funny.
Chris Parnell, years ago, he did this little short, it's like a 5-10 minute thing called Animal Farm, I think it was called. It is one of the funniest things to this day that I've ever seen.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, just Chris Parnell, Animal. Yeah, I think it's called Animal Farm. It's fucking hilarious. Okay, so you have that, and then you were saying before on our other recording or other session that you were that you're with Scotty Side, and what's all up with that?
Yeah, Scotty Side, Scott, my buddy Scott. So just a little history about the podcast and how Seriously Cast came about was Scott and I did this. I was the executive producer, I guess is what you would call it, of another live stream that we called a streaming pile of shit, where we would watch shitty movies and make fun of them, kind of like Mystery Science Theater. And the other hosts of the show just kind of sucked. They were just they would just show up and not really do anything, and they weren't that funny. And Scott, one day while we were doing a live stream, he literally just looked at me. He's like, "I'm done," and he got up and left and never came back. And then a couple years after that, he like calls me I think we end up going to a bar or something, and he's like, "Hey, let's do our own podcast." And so a couple weeks later, I brought a camera and my laptop to his house, and we sat in his room and talked and shot a podcast. And it's been going. I think we've only missed like 1 month where we hadn't done one, and it's been going ever since. I do like 80% of the work on the thing, but because Scott is irreplaceable, he does a lot of work that he doesn't realize that he does. Scott does a lot of work that he doesn't realize he does. Fuck me.
Do's and does and don'ts.
I swear to God, I know how to speak the English too good.
It's perfectly fine. It's actually quite funny.
So yeah, it's like we need him. I need him because I can't get on there and just rant and ramble by myself. I just suck at that. And Scott and I are able to riff off each other really well.
Good. Good. You do's need him.
Don't,
almost, as you would say,
I almost spit out beer.
No, you don't want to lose it. Single. Okay, so you've been doing the podcast for quite a long time, it sounds like, but you used to do things before that there was even, you know.
Yeah, so we've got the other podcast that we talked about, a streaming pile of shit, we did that for a while, and then I think COVID just kind of killed it, because we would always like just hang out in my garage, watch movies. And then before that, I had a Twitch channel called Felton Around. It was my puppet Felton would play video games and like once a week. That became a chore because that took a lot of pre-production and preparation work, and you had to find somebody to play video games for you because I've got my arm like I'm fisting a puppet. You can't really play a video game with one hand. So we played a lot of Jackbox. For those that don't know, Jackbox is a party game, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, because when you're talking about playing Jackbox with one hand, and then you got hand like, a puppet's ass.
Fisting a puppet, playing Jackbox with my other hand.
Sounds like something, yes, that you would find on the internet, but maybe in the darkest corners of the internet.
Oh, Felton met Jimmy Bones last night, and they've got a beef. Like, they hated each other. It's gonna get rough. That's a long story. I'll explain later.
Yeah. Oh well, Jimmy, he went quite Walt Disney last night. Let me tell you. So what is Jackbox?
Jackbox. It's a party game where you use your cell phone. So so somebody will have the game. You can play it online, kind of like on streams and whatnot. And anybody can play it as long as they have a phone. So one of the games is called Quiplash. It's like Cards Against Humanity. So they'll give you a question, and then you write your own answer out for it. And then they pit two people's questions or two people's answers against each other. And usually the most racist one wins. Hmm.
Okay. So that does sound like something that Jimmy should probably, because he does the Cards Against Humanity. Maybe he should look into something like that.
There's another one called TKO. And so it's kind of a battle. It's a battle thing, but you draw a T-shirt design and you write like a slogan underneath it. And your T-shirt goes up against somebody else's T-shirt. The one T-shirt wins and goes up against the next one. On that one, I used to, like before the 2016 election, I used to play that one and I'd draw backwards swastikas because I thought it was funny.
Well, actually, a backwards swastika means peace in, I believe, the Native American culture. So there's actually, if you look close enough here and there and around the United States, you'll actually see backwards swastikas.
When I was doing Amazon deliveries, I delivered to some like Indian guy's house. They were brown. And in their garage, they had a swastika above the door entry to the house. But it was like the Indian cultural, like peaceful design or love or whatever the hell it is. I don't know.
Before you were doing all these podcasts, you were doing something on.
So in 2006, I think it was 2006. Yeah, 2006, I was working at a cable access station in Portland, Oregon. And it was actually more Beaverton, but who cares? And so I had a host, and we did a live call-in show. And because I was working at the cable access station, I had keys to the building. And I got permission from the station manager to do a live call-in show at midnight on the CAN network, which was the cable access channel that would go out through the whole Portland metro area. And we were like the only people like in the history of any of the cable access stations around here to ever do a live call-in show after midnight. Because midnight is the safe harbor area. So it's like midnight to like 4 or 5 a.m. It was like a 4-hour window where you can play like nudity, say cuss words and all that stuff, kind of the 18 plus hours. And so we would talk about some of the raunchiest things, and we'd have some callers there. In fact, there was one time we had a lady calling the show, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm in the hospital. I just gave birth. Me and my family were watching your show." And my host is like, "No, turn the TV off." And then another time I was riding the bus in Portland, and this guy is sitting next to me. He's like, "Hey, I recognize you." I'm like, "Where?" He's like, "I saw you. Oh, yeah, you were on TV." And the name of the show was like Hold My Hand. And I looked at him. I'm like, "So what do you think?" He's like, "I'm pretty sure it's the worst thing I've ever seen." I said, "Thank you."
It's like live version of the comments section.
Yep. So I've been doing live TV and live video streaming. Like we would do live streams on Justin TV before it became Twitch, and there was also other websites. I think one of them was called like Ustream or something like that. Other websites that would do live streaming stuff, and I've been doing live streams since like 2007, 2008.
Wow, that's a long ass time. How many hours do you think you've live streamed? Just out of curiosity.
Well, there was one time there is a Seriously Cast Twitch channel. There was one time I was playing a game and I got drunk as shit and passed out on stream. that live stream ran for at least 12 hours.
Oh my god, that's funny. Now that's funny. Now I know there's Twitch, like there's chicks who will literally they'll like record themselves sleeping on purpose.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But to pass out on stream.
Oh, that's... I was literally in my chair like this.
is this like still, can some people find this?
No, that does not exist on the internet because Twitch doesn't only saves replays for like a month. And also the hard drive that footage was on is no longer existing. I have it, but it died, which also includes all of my backlog of every single episode of Seriously Cast.
Oh, wow. So is it just that the drive died, but the stuff is still on there? Because you can pull stuff off.
I can pull it off, but that just reeks of effort.
But it might be worth it to just maybe one day like go back and be like, gosh, look at what we were doing, or look what I was doing, right?
I went back and I watched like my first or Scott and my first podcast on YouTube, and holy crap, we've gotten so much better. The other night I can't remember whose stream I was on. I think I was on Bob's stream, like Polska Bob's stream, and I think he went to bed, but we were just hanging out backstage. It was like Sean St. George and a few other people, and we watched. I have two things online that I made that I was like either an actor in or executive producer on. And one of them was Punch and Pie. It's about two guys that worked at a call center. We built a set for it and everything. And then I also was one of the main actors in another thing called What Apocalypse. It was a show about three drunk guys that lived in a house that don't realize that the zombie apocalypse is happening. And then it turns out that because they drink so much beer, the zombies are repelled or don't like the smell of that your body excretes after you're drunk.
I used to work with a guy like that. He'd get drunk all the time. He just reeked. That sounds actually like an interesting what was it? It was like an episode of something, did you say?
Yeah, it was a pilot episode. So a pilot episode of both these things. They're both still online. If you want, I could send you a link.
Oh, for sure. I think everybody would love to watch this. So definitely send me a link, and I will put it in the description after the show.
Okay, sounds good.
Yes. I'm actually looking forward to watching that.
Tell me what you think afterwards.
For sure. For sure.
Pretty much the worst thing I've ever seen.
I'll save that for the comments section. So speaking of broadcasting and whatnot, you had a story about a show you were on.
All right, so let me explain this. I was on Jerry Springer's show, and it's not what you think it is. So this was probably 4 years ago, I think. It was definitely pre-COVID. Our roommate moved out, and he didn't give us a 30 days notice. He said he was going to pay us his last month's rent. And the time he said he was moving out to the time he actually left was about 5 days. And so he's like, okay, I'm going to give you guys the money tomorrow or whatever. And he never did. And so we went and did all our due diligence, got him signed off the lease, and never paid us. So we, sorry, Bert.
That's okay.
So we took him small claims. My camera decided to, okay, let's backtrack here. We took him to small claims. And 2 days later, we got a overnight letter in the mail for Judge Jerry. Hmm. And what the fuck is Judge Jerry? Jerry Springer had his own judge show.
This I didn't know.
And we got a letter from him. So they flew us out to Cincinnati. That's where they shoot. Not Cincinnati. Yeah, no, it wasn't Cincinnati. Holy shit! Hold on. No. They flew us to JFK, and it was Stamford, Connecticut. It was Stamford, Connecticut.
Okay.
Because it's like a 2-hour drive from fucking JFK, and they shot the show in the same studio. They shot Maury, Jerry Springer, and the Steve Wilkos show. But they had this whole set and everything, and so we got up there. We talked to I didn't necessarily get to meet Jerry Springer, but I was standing there talking to him on television.
I had no idea he had such a show. So did you win? Who won?
We won. Oh, if you okay. go on, I'll send you the link. They have it up on their YouTube channel. If you search Judge Jerry, this isn't a form, this is the law. Because that's a line my brother said. It was hilarious. But yeah, if you want, I'll send you a link to that if you want to post that in the comments as well.
For sure. You're giving us a lot of fun stuff to look at here.
However, the company that owns it, they are fucking ruthless for having other people upload their stuff. I had Bacon's stream taken down because he played some of that episode, and I played it on my podcast, and that stream got taken down because we played part of it on that episode.
Oh, wow. I've run into that experience with I guess some of the broadcast, they don't want any of their stuff out there. I had that problem with, we did a live stream. We were doing the Tinder Swindler. And oh. I kept taking it down as we were broadcasting.
Is that the Netflix documentary?
Yes. Yep. Okay. And then we were doing one on like some TLC shows, and they took us down midstream. So, yeah, as we were broadcasting, all of a sudden we weren't there anymore. I'm like, oh, great.
That's too funny.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that was about it for the Judge Jerry thing. Since we won, I got to JFK. And I'm like right next to New York, and I have the next 3 days off. So I went into New York. I didn't have a lot of money, but I had the money that we got from the show, because they literally cut us a check right then and there at the end of the thing for what we won.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. They paid for our hotel. They paid for our flight. They gave us each a $200 like stipend for food and shit.
Nice. So let me guess, you went out on the city with your winnings.
Yeah. I went to New York, and I didn't stay anywhere. I literally was in New York for about 9 hours. And so I got dropped off at the Nintendo store because they were just about to close. So I went to the Nintendo store. I went and saw FAO Schwartz at 30 Rock. And then I went to Times Square. I walked everywhere. I walked from Times Square to the World Trade Center. And that's like 3 or 4 miles. And this is at night in New York City too. Oh, but geez. I did what I like to call my New York bar crawl. So I walked down whatever street I was on. I can't remember what street it was, but anytime I passed a bar, I went in and had a beer. So I stopped at like 5 different bars, and the Ghostbusters Firehouse is like 3 blocks from the World Trade Center. So I went there, and there's a bar across the street, and it's like 3:40 in the morning, 4 o'clock almost, and they're still open. So I go in there, have a few beers, and then I go back to the airport.
Nice. Oh, that's quite a trip though, you know, when you think about it. Surprised you actually made it and didn't get mugged.
Well, I watched a guy. I was on the A train. I watched a guy sit there talking to himself. He'd stand up and look out the window, start singing, sit back down, pull a dollar bill out of his pocket, open it up, snort the cocaine that's in it, fold it back up, and put it back in his pocket.
Well, the subway, from my understanding, that's a whole other world. And it just gets worse and worse as the days go past.
The worst part is I was at the airport waiting to board my plane, and an old coworker of mine that worked at the cable access station called me. He never talks to me ever, but he saw that I posted on Facebook that I was in New York. He's like, dude, just come stay with me. Cause he's like a 20-minute train ride from fucking downtown New York.
Oh, there you go. So did you stay?
No, I was
like, because you're at the airport.
Yeah. I was getting on a plane. It was like had he contacted me like a couple hours earlier or like a day earlier, I would have had 3 days in fucking New York and got to do a lot more shit.
Yeah. Well, the next time you'll have to spend a little more time. Okay, so then after your trip to New York, you went back there to Oregon. How do you like Oregon?
Wow, Oregon's awesome. If the politics weren't so shitty, it'd be the perfect place to live. The climate is not too hot and it's not too cold. The rain gets kind of boring sometimes, but the politics, definitely the politics suck dick.
Well, you got. Are you in the part where that wants to become part of Idaho, or are you in the?
No, I am not in the. I'm not in the. What is it? Northern Idaho or Southern Idaho movement area, which is essentially going to be like a good like half the back half of the state. The eastern half of the state is going to do that. There's also another thing down in Southern Oregon. There's another thing, Southern Oregon, Northern California. They want to make their own state and call. They're calling it the state of Jefferson.
I think I've heard some of that. I don't think it's going to happen, but especially considering that, you know, Jefferson, they want to cancel Jefferson nowadays.
Jesus Christ.
I know. It's ridiculous. So you're in Oregon, and you were just telling me about how you're near where the state was formed.
So just down the street from where I live, there's a park called Champui. It's spelled weird. I call it Champoeg because you think shampoo, so it's S-H? No, it's C-H.
It's probably an old Indian name of some sort.
Yeah, it's definitely an old Indian name. But there was a town there at the park, Champui Park, and that's the place where the people of Oregon voted to become a state. So essentially, Champui is the birthplace of Oregon.
That's so pretty cool.
I was going to tell you this story, but then you're like, oh, let's put this on the thing because this will be fun. So there was a guy that lived in the state called Ewing Young. And he's pretty much the reason why Oregon became a state. So this is so fucking funny. When he lived in Oregon, he didn't have any family, no wife, no kids. He just kind of lived by himself. He wanted to make a still to make his own alcohol. But all of the Quakers and all the people around him were like, we don't want you to do that. So they got a bunch of money together for him. And they gave him all this money and said, here, take this. Please don't make a still. And so he's like, so we got to write a contract for this. So they wrote a contract. And in the contract, he essentially said, I'm not going to make a still, but I have the right to make a still at a later date if I want to. One of my old bosses started his own distillery. Down the street over here, there's his farm, the Ewing Young Farm. They have an old oak tree that he's buried under, and they have the Ewing Young Distillery that's like within view of the oak tree where he's buried.
That's pretty cool. Is the alcohol good?
Oh yeah, you know, it's amazing. I was just digging through a pile of like stuff, and I found one of the empty bottles of it that I have.
And what kind of what do they make?
They make gin. They make vodka. They make. I don't think they make rum, but they make whiskey. They definitely make whiskey. They have like three different types of whiskeys.
All the good stuff. All the stuff you want. So, all right. So I've seen on your channel that you do blacksmithing, which is something that is kind of it's a form that's disappearing these days.
It's kind of a dying art, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
so the blacksmithing is essentially this. My dad has a school here in Oregon called Anvil Academy. And it's a blacksmithing school. It's a woodworking school. They build these little go-karts. They're not go-karts. It's like halfway between a go-kart and a motorcycle. They're called cycle carts. Mm-hmm. And there's a kid here that's making miniature barrels. And they're learning. We actually went to the Cooper for the Rogue Brewery. They have their own Cooper on staff there. We got to talk to him and see him make barrels.
Oh, that's cool.
And the blacksmithing. So we have different types of blacksmithing. We have an after-school program for the blacksmithing where we have a bunch of high school kids in the area. They come in for a couple hours. And right now they're learning how to make stuff, but they're also going to be running their own business. So there's a farmer's market every Wednesday here in Newburgh. And we have a booth there. And so we're going to have an anvil and a forge. And we're going to be doing demonstrations, but also selling products like S hooks, J hooks, camp tripods, and all that stuff. And so the kids are going to be running all of that themselves. So they're doing inventory. They're going to be taking the money. They're going to be the ones paying out. And so the after school program is like $50, $60 a week. At some point, the kids are going to be making money hand over fist, and they're just paying for their own. They'll be making stuff and paying for their own after-school program.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. I want to talk more about the blacksmithing stuff, but I want to take a break because we've been going for a while.
Okay.
And when we come back, I've heard about that there's a bunch of guys coming out to see you. And
oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about that a little bit. So
let's definitely talk about that.
We'll be right back.
This man's business is moving mountains. His pleasure? The thrills of a sports car race. This man has a thirst for adventure. When it comes to beer, he wants Jack's every time, because Jack's is a wonderful adventure in taste.
If you like beer with a capital B, with real beer taste with a capital D, Mellow Jack, smooth and clear, real beer taste for sure, real beer taste, Jack's.
Jack's has a special way of brewing that captures all the fine natural flavor of the world's choicest ingredients. Jack's is smooth, brilliant, real beer taste for sure.
We're back with Ike from Seriously Podcast, and we're going to talk a little bit about blacksmithing. Now, I understand, I've heard, because Brandon Trueblood, he actually told me about it. He wanted me to come out to this thing that you guys are having, and I believe it's actually happening this week.
Brandon Trueblood wanted to schedule like a meetup or something, have a bunch of people come out to my place and do some blacksmithing. So we've got he's going to be here. I think he's going to be coming in Friday, and I'm going to try to have him on my podcast Friday night. Try to get the goddamn bacon to come down and maybe Soldier Girl, and I think a Rebel Against Defeat, Rad, is going to be in town. I'm going to try to get him to show up as well, but I don't know if he wants to drive all the way out here, because he actually went to a high school that was, you know, do you know who Rebel Against Defeat is?
Yes, I've seen him on, we've run into each other on podcasts.
Yeah, he actually graduated from a high school that's like 4 miles from where I grew up.
Oh, cool.
I'm not gonna dox him, but it's in the area.
Did you guys know each other?
No, I think he's about 10 years older than me, and okay. So he would have graduated a decade before I did.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you kind of run in circles with, you know, people that we've had on different shows, and what, like you mentioned Soldier Girl. She was mm-hmm. on She's been on a couple of the Red Pill Rhino shows. And I hear she lit up her backyard recently with some gas.
That girl fucking goes hard. Like, holy shit. Like, I have a hard time keeping up with her.
Well, she's ex-military, so.
Yeah. And she got lit up, and I think half her face is metal. I'm not kidding.
She's like, she's a Terminator.
Yeah, I actually last week I stayed the night at her house because I was at that. She's like the 15-minute drive from my girlfriend's place, and me and my girlfriend were out. We're like in the area. We're like, hey, you want to hang out? She's like, yeah, you guys come over and crash. So we did some shots and like hung out, drank some beers. It was awesome.
Oh, fun.
But back on the other thing, Brandon Trueblood's going to be here. And so Friday is going to be podcast night. It's also some drinking holiday, Cinco de Mayonnaise or something like that. And so we're going to Saturday. If anybody watching this is in the Portland general area, look up Anvil Academy on Google. I think Saturday at 6 o'clock. So it's like 6 to 9. We're going to be doing blacksmithing. I am personally going to be teaching an intro to blacksmithing class. We'll be making S hooks, J hooks, and possibly some bottle openers and whatever. And then Sunday, I think that we might be doing railroad spike knives. So something similar to this, but a little bit better. Yeah. Like, this doesn't have the finger guard. So if you stab something with this, your hand's just going to slide up into the blade.
I want one of those, though. That is nice.
Like we talked earlier, I'll make you one. We'll talk about price and everything.
Yeah. I also have some of the other stuff.
I've got some troll crosses that I've made. These are a Norse mythology. It's a totem or a token that wards off evil spirits or unwanted spirits.
And since you're in Portland, you could sell it to all the freaky freaks.
wearing
his jewelry.
So my grandfather used to own the general store in Orenco, Oregon. And it was just the building. He didn't actually run a general store out of it. My dad built wagons there for a good decade. Hmm. But after my grandfather passed away, they sold the building, and now it's a witch store. It's like a Wiccan store. It's called Beyond the Veil or something like that. But they sell like tarot cards and whatnot. So I'm going to probably take some of those and be like, hey guys, you want to buy some of these?
They probably will. No doubt. Yeah. I'll be like, they'll use it in some kind of wicked, witchy ceremony of some sort.
The other thing I'm going to try to sell them is when you pound on the metal, the top layer of steel comes off, and it's called blacksmith scale. It's a scale. Yeah. I think it's called scale. Yeah, it's scale. And that stuff is used in like some rituals or whatever. Some people like mix it into teas. I don't know. But I was going to get like some really cool looking vials and put a bunch of that in there and sell that to them too.
Wait, they drink?
I don't know. I may have just made that up.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, but people do weird shit all the fucking time.
Oh man, yeah, but to, you know, basically, you know, put metal into your body like that, it can't be good.
Probably not.
No.
But I've also got a few. This is a bottle opener that I made. Cool. This is one of the first pieces that I made. This is a heart that I made. I made a bunch of these to give to people as Christmas gifts. This one's also a bottle opener. It's got you just pop the top off the thing. Nice. This is another bottle opener that I made as well. This is also one of the first things that I made.
That's cool.
Oh yeah, I don't know what happened. I got drunk and I took off a chunk of skin on my finger. Oops. Last night. I don't know what happened.
You shouldn't blacksmith while drunk, that's for sure.
I've done that a few times.
Yeah. Well, it makes the pounding go easier, right?
Well, there was one time I was in there and like working on something, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? So I just threw the piece on the floor, turned the forge off, and left. I'm like, I shouldn't be handling hot shit while I'm drunk. There was one time I did a live stream. It's still on the channel, but I was I was making some of these, uh-huh. And I put a piece in our shear to cut it to length, mm-hmm. And it was still hot, and I grabbed it.
Oh.
And so, like, I had a burn right here and a burn right here for, like, 2 weeks. Oh. Thankfully, it wasn't, like, super hot, so it was just not a very bad burn, but it hurt like a motherfucker.
Believe me, I know all about that.
Oh.
So I do car stuff, right? So, you know, we have nice little cutoff tools and whatnot, and sometimes you forget, you know, and you heat up this metal.
Yep.
The cutoff tool, and you don't even think about it, and then you touch it. I've done that at least half a dozen times.
When you're blacksmithing, you assume that anything that's metal in the blacksmith shop is hot. Mm-hmm. So when you walk up to a piece, you take the back of your hand, mm-hmm. and you can feel the heat coming off of it. The reason you do that is the back of your hand is more sensitive. And also, if you get a blister or a burn on the back of your hand, you can still grab a hammer, as opposed to the front of your hand. If you get a burn on the front of your hand, you can't grab that hammer anymore.
Sure, sure. That's safety tips. It's like electricians. You know, that's how you're supposed to check. You know, touch a wire.
Yeah. We were talking about scale earlier, and so that stuff flies off, and it's still the temperature of the metal, which is like a couple hundred degrees, like hot as hell. So all of these dots on the back of my hand here are from scale flying off and burning me.
It's probably why it's becoming a dying art, because, you know, it's manly work, right? And being men, you're going to get injured during doing it.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I actually bought a website. I think it's a onlysmiths.net.
Only Smiths.
I made some stickers that have it's the OnlyFans logo, but it says Only Smiths, and it's, instead of like the heart in the middle of the Only, it's an anvil.
That's funny.
But I'm gonna make myself an apron. Buy myself an apron that, and it's gonna say Only. I'm gonna put Only Smiths on it.
You should do like a little. You know what you should do? Like one of these. Merchandise stores, you probably sell a fair amount of that kind of stuff.
Redbubble or something like that. My brother actually uploaded the logo onto a t-shirt on Amazon. If you remind me, I'll look that up and see if I can send you the link to that. If anybody wants to buy it from there.
Okay, so besides the blacksmithing, you were telling me you had something about Xbox.
I love technology, but old tech is a lot of fun. My dad was built when I was in high school. My dad spent like a good 10, 15 years building wagons. So my dad is a wheelwright. So I've got a lot of knowledge there. That's also dead knowledge. But one of the things that we would do is we did cable access as well, and I did a lot of stuff with TV. But video games was another thing that I was really into. I love playing video games. At one point, I worked at the Xbox Live call center that was here in the Portland area. I worked there for a while. They tried to fire me, but then Xbox proper hired me for the policy enforcement team. So I spent a good year and a half almost. I think it was closer just a year banning people on Xbox Live.
Oh, nice.
the job interview, probably best job interview I ever had. Oh my god, this is just gonna be really bad. No, so
let's hear it.
So I go into the job interview. This is on campus at Redmond Washington, where Microsoft is. I go into the job interview, and they do all the questions. So they have the HR lady there, and they ask me, what's your prior experience, this. And then there were other enforcers there. The policy enforcement guys were called enforcers. So there are other, like, tier two enforcers there. There's like three of them. Yeah, I think it was three of them. So one of they all introduced themselves. There was one guy in the corner I'm not going to say his name, but he was sitting there and he was just kind of quiet the entire time. The only thing he ever said to me was his name. And they're asking me all these questions. They want to know if I can handle like different things on the internet. So the question came up and it was something to the effect of, do you know what a Cleveland steamer is?
Oh God.
that was asked to me in my job interview. And so I stop and I look at it. I'm like, oh, I know it's a sex act, but I couldn't tell you what it is. And then without skipping a beat, I say to them, like, do you know what a Hitler is? And they're like, no, enlighten us. And I say, a Hitler is when you get done doing a Jewish chick and you kill her.
Oh, no.
And the guy in the corner that's just kind of sitting there taking notes puts his pen down and like slowly looks up at me and he's like, that went in a direction I didn't expect. apparently that is the question in the moment that I got the job.
Well, at least they understood that it was a joke, right? So I'm sure you found out what a Cleveland steamer is at this point.
Yeah, I know what it is. I'm not going to tell you, though.
No, we don't need to go there. But so you would sit, I guess, and listen to like groups of guys playing the Xbox, or like, what did that job entail?
Thankfully, I had a 10-year NDA, which wouldn't have allowed me to talk about this. But my NDA, I signed the NDA in 2012. So it's been 11 years since I've done this. So I'm pretty sure I could talk about this without getting in trouble. So the way it worked was the main thing we did was the gamertag queue. And so we had this software called Vulcan that we would use. And people would submit gamertags for review. And Xbox had a guarantee that a human eye would look at everything that came through that queue within 24 hours. And so the queue would just be people's gamer tags. And so I'd see like inward this or like something that, and I have to make a decision. Is this acceptable? Is this not? What's the context of this? And then, so that's part of my day would be that. The other part would be in-game enforcement. So to this day, I fucking hate Call of Duty so fucking much. I hate that game. I hate the people that play it. I hate the like just kind of mentality around it. They're just as bad as people that like Apple products.
Okay. So,
but that's one of the things. We'd have to play Call of Duty. So I've got some really good stories when I was doing in-game enforcements on Uno.
Okay. Uno, of all things.
That's the reaction you're supposed to give, because why the fuck would we be doing in-game enforcements on Uno?
Yeah.
So back in 2012, they had this was Xbox 360. They had the Xbox Vision camera, and Uno had the functionality to be able to use your camera and share your so people can see you. Mm-hmm. And some sick fucks decided to turn it into chat roulette.
Okay.
I would yell to the rest of the den, I'm gonna go troll Uno for peen. So at the time we had these things called hider tags, but we also had our main tags. So it was like XBLPET, and then there was like Uniform, Alpha, Zulu. And so we had different tags so we could do in-game enforcements, but we also had hider tags. My hider tag was a prominent primary color, because we would take these like high value tags and try to get, and people would try to ask to buy them. You can't sell your gamer tag to somebody else because it's property of Microsoft. I had the gamer tag, and so I'd go on there. I had some like My Little Ponies set up on my desk, and I'd point the camera at them. If somebody was going to show you their dick, you could tell. Totally. So they would hold their camera off to the side, and like you can see it like moving around, looking at like a wall or something. Uh-huh. And then they would just turn it and just fucking shove it right in their junk, and then they start masturbating.
Oh.
There was an unwritten rule in the den that if you saw any female nudity, you had to have somebody come and give a second opinion on it. It's not because you needed a second opinion. It's because it hardly ever happened, and everybody wants to see it.
Right. Yes.
So we did that, and so I was I think this was Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. I can't remember. It was one of those. It was a holiday. Might have been Thanksgiving. But I'm trolling Uno, and it was a free Xbox Live weekend. And so I saw the camera. I was doing this, and all of a sudden the camera stopped. And there was this really large black woman, naked black woman, bent over an ottoman. And then this like fucking lanky, like skinny black guy walks into frame, literally like this.
Okay.
And then it became a race. It became a race to see who would finish first. I'm putting their information in. And so one of the things people don't realize is if you get two nudity hits on your Xbox Live account, your console gets nuked from the system. It can never connect to Xbox Live ever again.
Wow.
So one of the tier two guys pulled the dossier of the person. That's what we call when you put the gamer tag into the system, and it pulls like every single IP address that your console's been on, every single Xbox Live gamer tag that's attached to that console, every console that tag's been on, the last month's worth of messages, the last month's worth of gameplay. And so he pulled the information. They had already had one nudity hit. They had this nudity hit. And just before he hit them, he banned them from the service. I got him a second time. So they had three nudity hits on that fucking console. And that console could never connect to Xbox Live ever again.
Huh. Even if it was a different, like, say, if they sold it or something. There's an
ID that comes that goes along with the console that ID cannot connect to the service. There's people that would do what's called JTAG. They would JTAG their console so they could hack games and do stuff with it. Those guys would go onto eBay and buy red ringed Xboxes, and they would use that Xbox's information, that tag, to spoof that tag onto their console.
Who knew that all this stuff was going on? What, 10
years? Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine what's going on these days.
Okay, well, I'll tell one more story about Microsoft and Xbox Live. So the first day on the job there, the guy that was the blue badge, because we were contractors. We weren't actually employees of Microsoft, so we were contractors. But we had a Microsoft guy that they were called blue badges because their badge had the blue stripe. And I think my badge would have been like a yellow or something. Mm-hmm. And so our boss took us into an office, all the new guys. It was me. I worked with my twin brother, Nate, and this other guy, Dave. Dave's really cool. I need to contact him. But all three of us were sitting in the office. He was giving us the whole spiel about this and that, and different rules. And he's like, oh, wait, okay, so the last thing I'm going to talk about here, he points out the door. The door had a window in it. He points out the door, and there's this thing on the ground halfway down the hallway that's like probably about waist height and about this big around. It was like around. He's like, okay, that's a refrigerator. We call them R2 units. It has beer in it. Don't make it a problem. Mm-hmm. So I was drinking alcohol, banning people from Xbox Live.
Nice.
It was Christmas Day. I walked into the den. There was a jug of rum, a bunch of Cokes, and ice there. And I'm drinking rum and Cokes, playing video games, banning people on Xbox Live on Christmas Day, just getting drunk. It was awesome.
That reminds me of so we had a little refrigerator in our office at my work, and you know, people would give us alcohol all the time, and a bottle of vodka ended up in this refrigerator, and nobody really like hit it, you know, because you know you're working, right? We had a secretary for a single mom, very short period of time. I think she was there for 3 months, and every day she would come in, she would get a glass of orange juice, and then she would put like at least two fingers worth of vodka into this thing.
Nice.
Every day until that bottle was gone.
When I worked at the Microsoft call center for Xbox Live, There was a 7-Eleven across the street from the place. People would go in there, pick up a Slurpee cup. They take a beer, they put the beer in the Slurpee cup. Oh, they probably fill the Slurpee cup a little bit, put the beer in, open it, stick the straw in there, and they pay the price of a Slurpee because the employee didn't notice, and they just take it into the office and drink it at their desk.
That's brilliant, actually. Jimmy, if you're watching, there you go.
There you go, Jimmy. Felton's got some words for you, by the way.
Well,
I don't know if he remembers that. He was, I think he was he wasn't three sheets. It might have been four or five.
Well, you should have seen him on the stream the other night. You were on that stream for a little bit. Pretty
and funny. I was pushing buttons.
Emotional damage.
Yeah, so, Ike, I want to thank you for coming.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Just tell us where we could find you on the regular.
Seriouslycast.com will take you to our YouTube channel.
You can definitely
find us there. We're live Friday nights at 6 o'clock East Pacific time, 9 o'clock Eastern. Wednesdays we go live at 8 o'clock Pacific. That would be 11 o'clock Eastern. It's like 10 o'clock Bob Polska Bob's time. But Bob and I on Wednesdays we play Maneater, which is a shark game. I didn't say shark, did I?
We
play that. We riff on a shark.
Oh yeah.
In fact, I actually titled one of the streams Shark Game instead of Shark Game.
So you're just going to keep playing this game until, like...
Well, we're going to 100% it. Once we 100% it, we're going to start over.
Oh, my God.
No, we're not going to start over. We'll find something better to do.
Sounds like torture.
Right now it is. I hate it. But don't tell Bob that.
Yeah.
It's not about the game that we're playing. It's about having fun with friends.
Well, that's what all this is about. I hope everybody's enjoyed this time. And if you're in the Portland area,
yeah,
this coming May 5th, Cinco de Mayonnaise.
Yep.
Look up this man right here. He'll teach you how to blacksmith. That's pretty damn cool. All 100%. Right, man.
Have a good one.
All right. When we get back, we'll have our musical guest, Jeffrey Paul.
Schmidt, one beautiful beer.
Beautiful.
Schmidt is a dry beer, a mellow beer, a hearty beer, blended into one beer, a light, bright, fun beer. Schmidt,
one beautiful beer.
What makes Schmidt's of Philadelphia one beautiful beer? Blending does it. Schmidt's is a dry beer, a mellow beer, a hearty beer. Blended into one beautiful beer. Schmidt's of Philadelphia. Beer as beer should be.
Schmidt's, one beautiful beer.
Beautiful.
Schmidt's is a dry beer, a mellow beer, a hearty beer.
One beautiful beer.
Schmidt's, you're beautiful.
Our next guest is known to plenty of people throughout the sphere. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeffrey Paul.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jeffrey Paul. And I want to say thank you to my brother from another mother, Billy Von Baum, for having me on his show. We're about to do a tune by Johnny Nash. It was written many years ago. One of my all-time favorites. Billy, that helmet better be on real tight. I love you guys and peace to you.
Thank you.
Did you know I have merch? It's true. You just got to go to my website, BillyVonBomb.com. We got some pretty cool merch over there. And you know what's really cool? I designed it myself. That's right. All the merch on my site, I designed myself. So, by buying my merch, you're supporting the artist directly, the guy who actually made it. And we got cool stuff like this. And we got cool stuff like that. I'm not government approved. I bet you're not government approved either. You can show your support by getting one of my shirts. That's right. Look at this guy. He's got my shirt. How about that guy? Yeah. How would you like to walk around with bomb on your shirt? That's right. Yeah. Keep calm and bomb bomb. Even old guys get my stuff. See? Check it out. Cancel the cancel culture. That's what I like to do. And you can get a shirt that says those things. And coming soon, skaterwear style. Hey, you know what? You can even get a shirt for the cat lady in your life, like your sister or your mom. You can find it all right at BillyVonBomb.com/merch. Stop by today, and why don't you pick something up? You'll enjoy it. I promise. I'd like to thank all my guests for joining me tonight, including you. And we'll see you next time.
The sun smiling through. I want to be happy, but I won't be happy till I make you happy too. I'm a very ordinary man, trying to work out life's happy plan. Doing unto others as I'd like to have them doing unto me. Now when I find a very lonely soul, to be kind becomes my only goal. I feel so much better when I tell them my philosophy. Well, I want to be, but I won't be happy till I make you happy too. Life's really worth living when we are worth giving. Why can't I give some to you?
That's right.